You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko jo toko ingoa, nau mai haere mai ki te Wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Rahina Monday. I'm your host, Joe, and I'm joined by my producer, Spike. Spike, how are you?
Good. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. Had a good Halloween weekend?
Yeah, pretty good. We announced the BFM Halloween party.
Awesome. How was that?
Pretty good, yeah.
It's quite a few people there. Heard it was packed. Heaps of good costumes. Did you have a good costume?
Yes. Went as, I went as Priscilla and my girlfriend went as Elvis Presley.
Oh, very. I think you told me about that last week. Yes. Awesome. Sweet.
Do you have a costume?
I did not go, unfortunately. Yes, my Halloween was quite mundane. However, we have a not so mundane show for you guys today. We'll be with you for the next hour. I'll be looking at the need to engage with Māori on Aotearoa's national space policy and aerospace strategy. I'll be speaking to Dr. Pauline Harris, the associate professor at Te Puhahi Atui, the School of Māori Knowledge at Massey University. I'll also be looking at how a father's involvement in childcare impacts their kids. I'll be speaking to Lisa Meehan from the New Zealand Work Research Institute at AUT about their research. Spike, you have a special report for us today.
Yes, I'll be covering ARCOL reform and the recent announcement by the Labour government to look at ARCOL reform and what needs to be done.
Sweet. And we also have Tomorrow's World as well. Stella and Isla will be welcoming their youngest guests yet, which are students from Toitū Te Nahiri. He Aha Whakaaro would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces. O tuki pātui mai, you can text us on 53955, wai mai rane, or give us a call in studio on 09309 3879. Also remember, you can catch all these stories and more by podcast on the 95 BFM website. Now, let's get into The Wire for Rahina Monday.
The government has indicated
The Wire.
Tomorrow's World welcomes their youngest guests yet this week, which are students from the Toitū Te Nahiri and Art in Schools project, a collaborative research project with researchers from the University of Auckland, as well as students years 5 to 6 from Konini Primary School in Glen Eden and Kauri Park School in Beachhaven. These students really are tomorrow's world. I'll pass it over to Isla and Stella.
Hi, Earthlings. Welcome back to this episode of Tomorrow's World. Stella and I are so excited to bring you our youngest guest yet. As part of the Toitū Te Nahiri project, we've brought along two students from different schools around Auckland who can't wait to tell you all about their work protecting our Nahiri.
Hello, my name is Rohan Kumar from Konini Primary School. I am in the Year 5 Syndicate, and what we've been learning is how to save the environment, and we've showed photos about it because photos are way more effective than just saying it.
I'm Hazel Rayside from Kauri Park School. I'm in Year 6, so our project is Toitū Te Nahiri, and we've done like a school production on it. We've had Auckland University help us with it.
So it's been a collaboration between scientists, artists, children, people who care about the forest. What have you learned about the forest and forest health?
We've done lots of the art. So as I said, the production, expressing that we need to care for our environment and take care of our trees.
Absolutely. And why do you think art is so important? Because if you just told people about Cody Dieback, they might not listen. Why is art so important?
Because if it's art, you're showing it. Mm. And if you are just telling it, they don't think it's actually real. So you have to show it. And like I said, it's more effective than just saying it.
Fantastic. And Hazel, I have a question. Why does the environment matter so much as the youth or as people in primary school? What is your message to maybe some of the leaders or maybe the council about the forests?
We need to care for our environment. We need to make sure our trees are healthy, and we need to stop throwing rubbish into the forest. And we need to convince people that they need to be doing that. And we need to find ways to show people that they should be caring for the environment, even the people who don't think they should. We need to find ways to tell them.
And you've already done that. I want to hear a bit more about your production.
So our production was called Journey Through the Stars. So it was about Matariki and Māori culture, but it was also about saving our forest from myrtle rust and kauri dieback. And so everyone who was in the audience kind of learnt about kauri dieback and myrtle rust and how they should help.
And do you think that because you did it as a story in a production, people cared about it more? Do you think that helped?
Yes, I do, because stories, like, if you do it on a production, people think of it as entertainment. They don't think of it as, like, and now you need to do this, blah, 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 blah. They think of it as, like, having fun. And we also, in our production, we also talked about being the kaitiaki, the guardian of your local forest. So you are protecting your forest, so you need to spread the message to others and tell other people that they need to be careful.
This morning, not only have you been environmental scientists and photographers and production makers, you've also been lecturers. Can you tell us what you did this morning and what you're going to be doing this afternoon as lecturers? What are you lecturing on and how was the experience?
So basically, we took some photos in the Nahere first. And then when we took some photos in the Nahere, we went and edited the photos to make it look positive or negative, light or dark. And then after that, we got it set up in Te Uru.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about the art gallery. So you had an art gallery exhibition first in the community. Did you see the art gallery?
Yes, I saw the art gallery. And also, if we had a chance to spread it out to the world more, I would definitely take that, because instead of sharing it in one place, it should be shared around more places so more people can encourage it. Not only the people that live in Titirangi and Glen Eden, mm-hmm. more people around maybe the whole Auckland or New Zealand.
Absolutely, and you shared it today in a lecture. So what did you tell the students today? You've given two lectures now.
Our key message is to save the environment. We talked about the photos. The first photo it's called the Uso Frame from Lachlan Craig. His message is, we need to take care of our forest because it takes care of us, so do not hurt or harm the magnificent trees. Mm-hmm. A photo like that, a title, who made it, and a message, and the photo. And showing it makes it more effective.
Mm-hmm. It does indeed, and I've seen these photos and they are amazing. And so just recently, we've had you at university for the day and you've gone inside a VR experience and it was to go through the Kauri Forest. Can you tell us about what you saw and what you did in that?
So in the VR, we were like in the forest for the bit I did. And so there was like a voice going through our headphones and it was telling us about like showing us stuff, and they were like, even if the vines go up the Kauri can just shed its bark, sending the vines back down and stuff. And then it zoomed into the roots, and I saw, and it was like, I think it was microbes. It was like, it needs lots of good microbes, but there are some bad microbes, and those bad microbes are Kauri dieback.
Absolutely. So you, in the VR experience, went into the tree roots and saw them. And so what you've learnt through this experience, and as well the whole year working with Toi Tu, how can we stop Kauri dieback and myrtle rust? What should we do?
We should scrub our feet at the stations that should hopefully be in most bushes. And we should scrub our pet's paws and like our hiking sticks and anything like that that touches the ground where the Kauri dieback might be in the Kauri roots, so that we don't spread it to other Kauri trees. And so that we stop the spread of Kauri dieback and myrtle rust.
And, you know, I have been so inspired being in this project with you. I think other adults should also include kids and schools in projects as well. Do you think it's important that we include, especially in big environmental decisions that are happening, do you think we need to be involved?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because the more people that come help us save the forest, makes it better. Because if only Konini School and Kauri Pack Schools do it, it's only us doing it, and it's not gonna be fast. It's gonna take about 10, 11 years.
Mm.
But if we get more people to come help us, it can take even shorter. We have a website, keep Cody standing. And if you want more information of Cody Dieback and Metal Russ, go to keep Cody standing.
And I think we should hear from our teacher as well.
Hi everyone, my name's Analfi Al. I am a year 5-6 teacher at Cody Park School on the North Shore.
Amazing, thank you. And so you've been part of this project. If you give an overview, what has the experience been like and how important has it been to combine, you know, science and arts all together with the kids as well?
Okay, part of teaching is looking for ways to make learning more fun for the kids. It's also being smart about integrating a whole lot of the curriculum, because everyone knows when they go into teaching that it's very loaded and there's not enough time to teach everything. So learning about science through the arts, like the kids have been talking about, has been quite effective in spreading the message, a bit more fun for the kids, a bit more meaningful for them as well, if they're hands-on, actively involved in the learning process. So, yeah, it's been good that way for them. So we've done it through arts, we've done it through technology as well. So a bit of everything, really.
What has been the key takeaway for you through the experience?
Through the experience, just being amazed by what kids actually do know, the background knowledge that they have, the different influences they have in their own personal lives, how meaningful it is to them because they are actually interacting, especially from our two schools. They both plotted around bush area, so they're always in the bushes at our school. Our school name is Cody Park, so it's there's a local park close to our school that's closed off because of Cody Dieback. So part of the learning process was that we organized through the university to get people from the council in, because the kids wanted to ask the question of why it was closed, because it just suddenly got closed, but there wasn't any consultation or any information in the community. So kids wanted to know why it was closed and the process involved in actually getting it opened again. So that's like, it brings in letter writing. So it's a whole lot of interviewing and asking questions. So I think they've done really well. It's prepared them a lot for actually coming here and interacting with adults and presenting and talking to people that they've never met.
Imagine it's in about 20 years' time. Because our radio show that Stella and I do is called Tomorrow's World. We talk about in the future what things are going to be like. What is your goal, I guess, for 20 years' time, for Tomorrow's World, for the health of our forest?
My goal would probably be, like, all the invasive species and stuff that is in New Zealand, hopefully all gone, but maybe most of it gone. And then also everyone paying attention, so everyone scrubbing their shoes and stuff so that our forest can remain for a long time. The message always needs to be spread, because if it doesn't get spread, nothing will happen. Only we will do it. But if the message spreads to other people, more people will do it. And if you're listening, share it to your family, share it to your friends, share it to everyone you know.
So the idea is spread the message, don't spread Cody Dieback.
That was Tomorrow's World with Isla and Stella as they speak to the students from the Toitū Te Nahiri, the Arts in Schools project.
Looks like everything's going to be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Public consultation on Aotearoa's aerospace strategy and space policy review will close today. The consultation documents highlight the need to engage with Māori on New Zealand's space activities and engagements, though. Some commentators have argued that the consultation has been too rushed for Māori to have meaningful input. Now, I spoke to Dr. Pauline Harris, an associate professor at Te Puha I Atui, the School of Māori Knowledge at Massey University, on this matter.
Māori have quite an extensive relationship with space and the environment. For those who may not know much about this relationship, could you give some insight into it?
Yeah, well, with the Matariki holiday being established and celebrated for the first time this year, that gives us a sense of the relationship that Māori have had and are having with space. So in a traditional and contemporary sense, Māori have continued this relationship with space and through our whakapapa, Māori are actually related to the celestial, such as Rangi Nui, or through Rangi Nui, the Sky Father, and Papatūānuku, the Earth Mother. So, you know, Māori use the sun, moon and stars a lot in their everyday life, you know, through their observations with the environment, through Maramataka, which is our calendar system for hunting, fishing, rituals. And so, and of course, with our navigation as well, when we traversed here across the Pacific Ocean. So Māori have had quite an extensive relationship with space for a very long time, and it is continuing, it's a continued relationship, an ongoing relationship.
Now, public consultation on Aotearoa's aerospace strategy and national space policy is due to close today. Mahia Manuwhenua have mentioned how these may have been too rushed. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I can understand why they feel rushed. I mean, me personally, I've been involved with it for a while, so there's a group of us that they've been having conversations with and consultation with. But yeah, if the whānau at Mahia say they've been too rushed, then they feel like they've been too rushed, which is completely valid. And but one of the things we need to keep in mind also is that if they feel they're being rushed, it's because there's quite a lot of issues to do around aerospace and space, and so some of the issues are quite complex, and it takes quite a while to be able to get your head around the different issues around space or different potential around space as well. So that can be, you know, that can take quite a while to kind of understand it, and people also might not realises that there's actually two things going on. So there's the aerospace strategy and the review of the national space policy. So there's a couple of different things going on, and they're all quite involved. So it takes time to understand these things and then to think about it and then to give feedback on it.
What would you say are the most important principles that must be considered from a Te Ao Māori perspective in relation to this policy and strategy?
Well, I think the key thing is, I mean, in terms of principles, you know, it's to be respectful, to have enduring relationships, to have honour, and to talk to Māori mana ki te mana. So I think, you know, the key things is that Māori need to be engaged with constantly throughout the process. So they've been talking to some of us around the aerospace strategy and had some discussions around the space policy. But those sorts of relationships need to continue so that we're at the decision-making table, because at the decision-making table, that's where you make the strategies and that's where you make the policies, and where you actually discuss how funding will be allocated as well. And I think that's really important, because for Māori to be fully engaged, we want to talk about our issues. Okay, the issues around this, you know, up-and-coming technologies and the way processes are done, but also we want to be able to at the table for potential and innovation and the development of Māori and Māori with our capability and capacity development and supporting entrepreneurs and supporting businesses and the like. So that's really, really important in terms of these kind of principles of enduring relationships, honouring te tiriti, and talking to us all the way through the development of these policies and strategies.
Now, Māori have already been quite involved with the aerospace sector, whether it's with Rocket Lab and Mahia or Project Tawhaki as well. Is there anything else Māori need to be at the table at in regards to the sector?
Well, like I said before, definitely the decision-making, processes. We need to be involved in the resourcing, and we need to be involved with funding allocation and designs of those sorts of things. But, you know, that real discussion around educational opportunities as well. I mean, I think I mentioned it in the previous answer. Those are the sort of things that we really need to kind of focus on in terms of how Māori need to be at the table throughout the whole pipeline, and some of us are, but like the previous question you asked also around there not being enough time, so I think there needs to be more time and more resourcing around going and speaking to more iwi and more Māori communities around the country about how we want to see our aerospace sector develop and what are the opportunities and what are the issues around those, around these sorts of technologies and processes moving forward.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, well, I think there's a real opportunity for Māori to be involved here. And something I didn't really mention before is that, you know, we're involved in other areas right now. You know, there's Māori that are involved as engineers in space. There's people with architectural backgrounds involved in space discussions and developer technologies. There's Māori involved in space medicine, which I am a complete fan of and think it's really amazing and interesting developing field. And I'm an astrophysicist myself, so, you know, there's a few of us who are involved in that. But I'm really excited to see how we can create opportunities for our, not just our rangatahi, but for our established, mature students, our researchers and our businesses and the like, to really kind of grow across the whole breadth of the system.
That was Dr. Pauline Harris, an associate professor at Te Puhai Atoi, the School of Māori Knowledge at Massey University, speaking about the public consultation on New Zealand's aerospace strategy and space policy review, which is scheduled to close today. You're in The Wire for Rahina Monday. Remember, you can text us in 5395 or give us a call on 09309 3879. We'll be right back after this short break.
For old time's sake, yes or no, would you like to be leader of the National Party at some point?
No, I'm just focused on what I'm doing. I'm one of those people that do it day by day, job by job.
I'll save this clip and come back to it in 5 or 10 years. We'll see how it's aged.
The Wire. Auckland's favourite summer festival is back for 2023. That's right, St Jerome's Laneway Festival is here.
And now, due to popular demand, moving to a larger venue at Western Springs.
Soothing that sweet January heat with a smooth, cool and refreshing blend of international musical juice. Featuring...
Hi, I'm Joji.
Phoebe Bridges.
Phineas.
Fontaines DC.
Fred again.
Girl in Red.
Turnstile.
100 Gecs.
Chaos in the CBD.
Phaser Days.
Nuts.
Mall Rat.
Ross from Friends.
The Bips.
Yard Act.
Ernie Bell.
Logic 1000.
More and more.
If I could go back with hands up, I'd go up to the sky and give it.
St. Jerome's Laneway Festival 2023. Auckland Anniversary Day, January 30th.
Additional tickets on sale now from lanewayfestival.com.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green.
The hemp store on K Road is what you need.
And food, and twine, books, clothes, vape supplies, hemp oil, and butter, drug tasting, my brother.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green. The hemp store on K Road is what you need.
Experience the hemp store at 253 Karangahape Road. For nationwide delivery, visit hempstore.co.nz or call 0800 Hemp Store.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green. The hemp store on K Road is what you need.
Beanage. Babe, have you thought more about what you want for your birthday?
I already said.
I know.
Do you need the link?
Nah, it's just, you know, you already have a 95 BFM tote, 95 BFM stubbies, 3 95 BFM shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I asked for the hat.
95 BFM merch is now at the University of Auckland campus store.
Beamish.
95 BFM hats, hoodies, Beamish. T-shirts, totes and more. Beamish. Get yours now from the campus store or online at 95bfm.com/merch. Discount with your B card.
Beamish. Waiting at the campus store.
I don't know how to say this, Betelgeuse star?
You're not a child of the 80s. If you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Betelgeuse.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire for Rahina Monday. I will now pass it over to Spike, who has a special report for us.
Alcohol is a substance ingrained in New Zealand's social settings and cultural habits, with 80% of New Zealanders regularly consuming the substance. But the impacts and harm are often ignored or left undiscussed due to its high social acceptance. The NZ Drug Foundation 2022 State of the Nation report looked at drug consumption habits across the country and found that 25% of adults report hazardous drinking habits. That percentage jumps to almost 40% or over 40% for people in the 18 to 24 age bracket. The cost of alcohol harm on New Zealand is estimated at almost $8 billion a year. On average, two New Zealanders a day die related to alcohol. Alcohol reform has been promised for over 10 years, ever since the Law Commission reviewed alcohol laws in 2012, but many of the most impactful recommendations from the report were never taken up. After a grassroots effort by both community groups and supporters of alcohol reform, the Labor government is finally amending liquor laws to address fundamental issues. But some say it's not going far enough. Justice Minister Kerry Allen announced yesterday that the Sale and Supply Alcohol Act would be amended to remove the ability to appeal local alcohol policies. Local alcohol policies, or LAPs for short, are restrictions that local communities can put in place around when and where alcohol is available. The current system allows for alcohol companies and supermarket chains to appeal restrictions, leading to large and drawn-out legal battles between community groups and large national companies that cost millions for taxpayers. LAPs in Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch have been blocked by these battles, with a policy in Auckland being tied up in court for over 7 years and costing over $1 million for taxpayers. Ardern announced today that more alcohol reform would be coming in March, but would take time and be heavily considered. Ardern acknowledged that communities had issues with combating issues like billboards outside schools and marketing aimed at children. But due to it being embedded in many areas in New Zealand, it would take time to reform and address. While this is a welcome step by some, many alcohol harm reduction campaigners argue that this is only a minor fix for the wider issue of alcohol harm. Green MP Chloe Schwarbrick, who has supported many of the community groups behind the Auckland LAP campaign, says the government is still not doing enough to reduce harm. Swarbrick has already introduced a members bill to restrict alcohol marketing and says she won't withdraw it after the announcement of Labor's reform. The bill would ban alcohol sponsorship in live sports and sports venue, which Swarbrick says is to reduce exposure to alcohol advertising to children who would be watching or involved with sports. The bill has seen support from Greens and Te Pāti Māori on first reading, but opposed by National Act, and Labor MPs have been told to treat it as a conscience vote. It remains to be seen whether a further reform will be enacted and what impact it will have.
Thank you, Spike, for that report on alcohol reform. You are on The Wire for Rahina Monday. Remember, you can text us in 5395. Why am I 309-38? Sorry, give us a call on 09309-3879. Fuck up on mine. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Get in touch with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is a sad, sad day. BFM, the font of liberalism and tolerance at the centre of the University of Auckland.
The Wire.
This is Just a Shy of Shore by The Beths.
That consumed me, shifted all my priorities. Things I die to keep, swept through all that I'd hoped to reap. God, I loved how it ruined me. Ooh.
95BFM presents Princess Chelsea, the People's Princess, performing live at the Power Station.
Forever is a charm and it's never getting better.
Fresh off the back of a European tour and a recording session at the illustrious Abbey Road Studios, Princess Chelsea is home to celebrate her glorious new album, Everything Is Going To Be All Right.
All the noise and information.
Princess Chelsea, Saturday, December 10th at the Power Station. Get your tickets now from AAAticketing.co.nz.
The Beer Spot is bringing back the Beer Festival for 2022. And guess who's going to be there?
Only more than 30 independent New Zealand brewers, food trucks and wine vendors. All your coolest and most intelligent mates. And we'll be broadcasting BFM Drive live on site for the whole show.
So join us. Come on down and say hi. Or listen at home for maximum FOMO.
Oh, I wish I'd gone. I feel like I'm missing out.
95BFM Drive live at the Beer Festival. Friday, November 4th, 4 till 7pm. Right here on 95BFM.
Hi, I'm Ken.
Hi, Ken.
It's been 6 months since I've listened to Gin. Not going to lie, I still miss it. The feeling when the primo tunes are pouring out, the smooth grooves, the weird songs have got flute in them.
Hey, what's that in his ear?
My ear? No, what?
That's a headphone.
No.
This guy's turning some gin right now.
He's holding it out on us.
If this guy's going to have some gin, I want some too.
Everyone loves a bit of gin and no one's going to blame you if you take an earful every Tuesday from 1 till 4. Gin plays all the good notes that go down easy with a lingering vibed out aftertaste. The Tuesday 1 to 4 with Gin, thanks to the same old Ponsonby Social Club.
Firm and young with a laid-back tongue. The aim is to succeed and achieve at 21. Just like Ringling Brothers, our days in astound. Captivate the mass cause the pros is profound. Do it for the strong, we do it for the meek. Boom it in your Jeep or your Honda or your Beamer or your Legend or your Benz. The rave of the town to your foes and your friends. So push it along, trails we blaze. Don't deserve the gong, don't deserve the praise. The tranquility will make you unball your fist. For we put hip-hop on a brand new twist. A brand new twist with a whole heap of mystic. So low-key that you probably missed it. But yet it's so loud that it stands in the crowd. When the guy takes the beat, they bowed. So raise up squire, adjust your attire. We have no time to wallow in the mire. If you're on a foreign path, then let me do the lead. Join in the essence of the cool out breed. The cool out to the music cause it makes you feel serene. With the birds and the bees and all those groovy things. Like getting stomach aches when you gotta go to work. Or staring into space when you're feeling berserk. I don't really mind if it's over your head. Cause the job of resurrectors is to wake up the dead. So pay attention, it's not hard to decipher. And after the horns you can check out the fifer.
Them try to come sideways, but competition them must come straight way. Competition them try to come sideways, but competition them must come straight way. How's about that? It seems like it's my turn again. All through the years, my mic has been my best friend. I know some brothers wonder, can Piper really kick it? Some even wanna diss me, but why sweat it? I'm all into my music, cause that's how I make tapes. Try to make hits like it Capri makes tapes. Me sweat another, I do my own thing. Strictly hardcore tracks, not a new jack swing. I grew up as a Christian, so to try I give thanks. Collect my banks, listen to Shabaranks. I sing and chat, I do all of that. It's 1991 and I refuse to come back. I take off my hat to other crews that tend to rock. But the low end theory's here, it's time to wreck shop. I got tip and shot, so whom shall I fear? Stop, look and listen, but please don't stare. Suggest to the store and buy the LP on Drive RCA, cassettes and CDs. Produced and arranged by the four-man crew. And oh shit, Skef Anselm, he gets props too. Make sure you have a system with some fat house speakers so the new shit can rock from Boston, Massapequa. Cause where I come from, quality is job one. And everybody up on it, you know we get the job done. So peace to that crew, and peace to this crew. Bring on the tour, we'll see you at a theater nearest you.
Hey yo, but wait, back it up, easy, back it up.
Please let the abstract embellish on the cut. Back and forth just like a cameo song. If you dig this joint, then please come dance along to the music, cause it's done just for the mind. Now I gotta scat and get mine. Underline the jazz. The what? The jazz to move that ass. For the job originates that feeling of pizzazz. It's a universal sound. Bless the rappers on the ground and the 1-6 below. You didn't have to go. Some say that I'm eccentric cause I once had an orgy. And sometimes for breakfast I eat grits and porgies. If this is a stinker, then call me a skunk, I ask. Now check it out, all my peoples in Queens, you don't stop. Now all my peoples in Brooklyn, you don't stop. And all my peoples uptown, you don't stop. That includes the Bronx and Harlem, you don't stop. Now to that girl Rommel, you don't stop. I said because ladies first, you don't stop. And to the JBs, you don't stop. And De La Soul, you don't stop. And to my brand new Newbians, you don't stop. And to my leaders of the new, you don't stop. And to my man, Lost Professor, you don't stop. Rock for the beat, you don't stop. Everybody in the place, you don't stop. You keep it on to the rhythm, you don't stop. And last but not least, on the short shot, it's the Zulu Nation.
I got a bit of a serve yesterday on the text messengers for being so politically biased and you know, going on about it all the time. But I mean, have you been alive for the last 9 years? Exactly.
The Wire.
New AUT research offers surprising insights into how fathers are involved in childcare and why their involvement matters. Commissioned by the Ministry of Social Development, AUT's New Zealand Work Research Institute examined how much and how well fathers were engaged in their young children's lives, as well as the impact of their engagement on the children's outcomes. Now, I spoke to Lisa Meehan from the New Zealand Work and Research Institute, and I started off by asking her about some insight into her work.
As you said, what we looked at is fathers' involvement during the early years of their children's lives, some of the factors that made them more or less likely to be involved, and also some of the consequences for the child's outcomes. So what we did here is we used data from the Growing Up in New Zealand survey. So this is a survey that has been running since 2009-2010, where they followed a birth cohort of kids born that year, about 6,000 children, and they followed them over time, so they're now about 12 or 13 years old, so that's the data we were using. We didn't actually collect it. And so one of the reasons that we wanted to look into this is that there's actually not a lot of evidence on the gender care gap in New Zealand, so we wanted to get some insights into this. So what the gender care gap is it refers to the fact that women tend to take on more of the household and childcare responsibilities within families. So this is potentially really important for gender equality. So we know that women in New Zealand are paid less than men on average, and that women's pay decreases after they become mothers, but fathers' pay doesn't really decrease after they become, well, men's pay doesn't really decrease after they become fathers. And the gender care gap is likely one of the underlying drivers of differences in things like employment rates and occupational choice and career advancement that contribute to this lower pay of women.
Now, I'm reading here that fathers are less involved in their child's care than mothers. However, a greater share of fathers, that being 71%, than mothers, that being 56%, thinks this distribution of childcare responsibilities is fair. Could you touch on this a bit?
Yeah, so this is actually a finding that is also found internationally, that, as you say, the mothers do tend to do more of the childcare and the day-to-day care of the child. Fathers do less, but fathers are more likely to think that their distribution is fair. And part of the reason for that is fathers are also more likely to be in paid work.
Now, I'm also reading here that there were some clear ethnic differences in the quantity and quality of fathers' involvement, although these should be interpreted with caution due to the small sample size for non-European fathers. Could you touch on this a bit?
So what we found is that Māori and Pacific fathers, they were more likely to be involved in the day-to-day care of their children than New Zealand European fathers, and also that Pacific fathers were more likely to undertake enriching activities like reading books with their children and playing games with their children.
What were some of the outcomes that you were hoping to get out of these findings? And I guess what could they be put towards?
So in terms of what some of the things we might get out of this research, so we're really hoping that this helps inform policy in this area. So there's a few different policy areas that I could touch on here. So one of them is earmarked father's leave. So most OECD countries now have paid parental leave, which is reserved specifically for fathers. So in New Zealand, what we found in the study is that most fathers take 2 or less weeks of parental leave, so they don't take much parental leave at all. But New Zealand is one of only a handful of OECD countries that hasn't gone down the route of actually earmarking some paid parental leave specifically for fathers. And the aim of this is to encourage fathers to take parental leave and increase their involvement with their child's care, and also to start shifting some of the gender norms around childcare responsibilities, so to start normalising the idea that dads can take parental leave and be more involved in their child's care. So another policy area is that it's not just the quantity of parental leave that is important. We also know that in New Zealand, paid parental leave is paid at quite a low rate compared to other countries. So just as an example, if you're a parent working full-time and you're getting paid the average wage, paid parental leave only replaces about 50% of your earnings. We also know that access to quality and affordable childcare is important. So high childcare costs discourage the secondary income earner, and that is typically the mother, from returning to work. And New Zealand has one of the highest out-of-pocket childcare costs in the OECD. So with the study, we're hoping that we're going to inform some of these policy areas.
Now, just a couple of weeks ago, the Australian Labor Party's New South Wales State Conference revealed that there would be plans to expand taxpayer-funded parental leave from 20 weeks to 26 weeks by 2026. Now, obviously this is going on in Australia. There is probably many other countries which have implemented similar or a different policy. Could you touch on what would be the most ideal sort of policy for Aotearoa?
In terms of paid parental leave, so New South Wales moving from 22 weeks to 26 weeks would actually bring it in line with New Zealand, where we have 26 weeks paid parental leave. But as I said, we also could look at the earmarked father's leave, and we could also look at the payment rate.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add on this that we haven't talked about already?
So one thing that we did find is that there's a positive relationship between father's involvement and a child's outcomes. So we found that fathers are more involved, the child tends to have better development in terms of language skills and motor skills, and also in terms of psychological outcomes such as lower levels of behavioural problems.
That was Lisa Meehan from the New Zealand Work and Research Institute speaking about the new insights into how fathers are involved in childcare and why their involvement matters.
That was The Wire.
Kia ora te hautaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, e te mihi ki a koutou katoa, e kororo mau kia mō tēnei rā. And that is a wrap on The Wire for Rahina Monday. Thanks to everyone who spoke with us, Dr. Pauline Harris, Associate Professor at Te Pūtahi Atoi, the School of Māori Knowledge at Massey University. Also thanks to Lisa Meehan from the New Zealand Work Research Institute at AUT. Thank you to Spike for your very insightful report into alcohol reform.
No worries, thank you.
And also thanks to the students from the Toitū Te Naere, the Art for Students project as well, who spoke with Tomorrow's World. That was Stella and Isla. And yeah, Neira hoki te mihi ki a koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to 95BFM. Be sure to tune back in at 1 o'clock for the 1 to 4 with Penny. Matewa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.